Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Janetta continues our series, Paul's Letter to the Romans.
You know, I thought that was a very powerful video that Ken showed last week. And I also thought it was a perfect segue in today's message, but I got a little worried. I was worried about showing it again. So I asked some people what they thought. I asked Denise Brown, and she goes, sure, it was very good. You know, I asked Ryan York, and Ryan goes, yeah, that'd be fine. Every time you see it, you see something different anyway when you watch a movie or a clip. And he says, and besides, different people will probably be there anyway. Then I asked Josiah, and Josiah says, almost like this, seriously? I watched Transformers 37 times. What's watching this twice going to do? Sure, show it. What? What'd you say? Okay. But seriously, I do think it was a really good segue into today's message. In the clip, the actor who portrayed God said to the other gentleman, you would rather play God in certain areas of your life than let me be God over your whole life. The man responded, you know, change so far has been good. Let's take a sabbatical from each other. I'll stay right here. A bit later, God responds, that's just it. You never stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but you're never just right there. And he said, what you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Controlling. You know, I think that's something that we all like to do. We like to control. What are some things you like to control? Your phone? Schedule? Anything else? People. Oh, people. Yep, I want that one. Anybody else? Your dog? Oh, well, there you go. That's why I don't have pets. No, you know, and I looked at, there's a lot of things we like to control. So then I thought, okay, what about me? I like to control how things go into my kitchen cabinet. I want the spices to be all lined up in order. And I want the smaller ones in a certain spot and the bigger ones in a bigger spot. I want the pans stacked a certain way. My kids probably don't even know this about me. I want in the cabinets where the vegetables and all that stuff goes, I want it lined up right. I want to know that when I pull out the drawer that has the plastic ware in it, that there isn't metal ware in that drawer. I want the metal ware to be in the metal drawer. So therefore, hang on. Therefore, if I can't control that, I don't cook. So, I don't cook because my kitchen is not under my control. Me, I like to be, I heard somebody else say, I like to be the master of my schedule. But just so you know, that's not working out so good for me. Every day, something comes along that messes with my control of my schedule. Right, Nanette? Every day. Me, I don't like to be told what to do. That's a form of control. As a kid in college, I went to It had a lot of rules, Christian college. Conservative. A very conservative Christian college. It was in Illinois. It was a Nazarene. It was a Nazarene school. And they had these rules that I thought were really dumb. One of them was that you could not wear jeans till after 6 o'clock. And I don't know what that was all about, but after 6 o'clock. And they could not be blue jeans. They could only be green or brown jeans. Guess what color blue jeans I wore? Blue, of course. Whatever are you thinking? Don't tell me what color jeans I can wear. When I decided to go into ministry, you had to go before a board. And it was a board of all these men. And they're asking you some questions and stuff. And one of them was about like jewelry and pierced ears, and you shouldn't have pierced ears. So I decided that was a dumb rule. Don't tell me I can't have pierced ears. So I put 3 holes in each ear to show you, no, control. I don't like the feeling of being controlled by someone or something. It kind of makes me feel like I'm a slave. In fact, I've even said, "What do you think I am? Your slave?" Therefore, if being controlled makes me feel like a slave, how in the world can any of that stuff be a good thing? How? I want to look at some scripture to see how. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, verse 15. It'll be up on the screen too. Does this mean that now we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? For our salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace. Of course not. This verse right there, 15, goes back to the very first verse in the chapter. The very first verse in the chapter said, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace?" No. This going on sinning thing is not so that we can abuse God's grace. Next verse, 16. Don't you realize that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Paul, in this passage right here, is using the analogy of slavery. Because back then, it was very common in all of the world for people to have their slaves. And in Rome, it was particularly common. In fact, the lowest estimate of the number of people in Rome that were slaves is 40%. So Romans is written to the church in Rome. It is pretty sure. You can be pretty sure that that congregation of people was made up of slaves of two different kinds. Pretty sure. One, it was the slaves that they were slaves against their will. Prisoners of war, ravaged from something else, against their will. Or they were voluntary slaves because the only way that they could survive in Rome at that time was to give themselves to somebody else so they could be fed and take care of their family, like an indentured slave. So slavery back then was a pretty big deal that all of them understood. In other words, they got what he was talking about. There's an American songwriter, singer, and artist that has been around for like five generations. His name is Bob Dylan. Anybody know who that is? Or is it, am I just me? Josiah, you told me you knew. Raise your hand. So it's not just old people. Okay, thank you. He wrote a song a while back that goes, "You gotta serve somebody." And I think it sums it up very well. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the Lord, or it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Somebody. In other words, you can't just stay put. You're either moving this way towards God or you're moving this way towards sin. Can't stay put. Impossible. Paul goes on in his letter to the Roman church, verses 17 and 18. Thank God that though you were once chosen to be slaves of sin, but, that's not in there, I added it, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the teaching of what God has committed you. And now you are free from your old master sin and you have become slaves to your new master righteousness. You were here, but now you are here, and you chose to leave here and move to here. So here we go. How can being a slave be a good thing? I hate even saying the word because of what it conjures up in my mind. So it's almost like maybe Paul is going to redeem that word for us. I don't know. Let's look at verses 19 through 22. And we see in these verses how things are contrasted in the conditions of either being a slave to sin or being a slave to righteousness. Let me read them. I speak this way about the slavery, using the illustration of slaves and masters, because it is easy to understand. Just as you used to be slaves to all kinds of sin, so now you must let yourselves be slaves to all that is right and holy. In those days, you were slaves of sin. You didn't bother much with goodness. And what was the result? Evidently, not so good. Since you are ashamed now even to think about those things you used to do. For all of them, the things you used to do, end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and are slaves to God and His benefits, to include holiness and everlasting life. I want to look at the contrast of these. In verse 19, the first one was slave to all kinds of sin. The contrast, slave to what is right and holy. Verse 20 and 21, as these slaves of sin, the things you did, you are now ashamed of. I want to pause just for a sec, and I want to know, am I the only one that has these things in their life that they don't want anybody else to know about? Am I the only one that would like nothing more than to be able to dig a hole that was deep enough to put them in so that there was no danger of any of you cleaning it out and seeing? Am I the only one? That's what it feels like to be ashamed of something. The opposite of that is on verse 22. That as slaves of God, we will get benefits, including holiness. Oh, wait. Impossible. I can be holy? What the world are you thinking? God? Me? This imperfect, sinful person, by choosing this, can have the benefit of you considering me holy? Stuff I want nobody to see? God calling me holy. And it's only one of the benefits. What's the end result of the way that we are living? Where will the way that I am living lead me at the end of my life? The result is given. If I'm over here, no matter what you want to think, I have eternal doom. If I'm over here, I have eternal life. But here's the thing. You can't stay here. And you can't be here with one leg over here. Because if you're here with one leg over here, guess where you really are? You're over here. Whoever we give ourselves to has the control. You know, there have been a lot of deaths lately. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, my friend Mark Garvett lost his mother. Carol Freeman lost her caregiver, her aunt. Darius Matthews from Kids Zone Learning Center this last week lost a young friend of his to suicide. Jennifer Cardenas, who helped me put together the amazing thing we did on Monday night, got a call on Monday night of a death of their family. And then on Friday, Candy, Alicia, Josiah lost their young brother-in-law, uncle, and Jim Wood lost a father he never had. Those deaths brings to my mind a saying that I grew up with, the sayings from my mom. In the course of eternity, how important is this? I'm thinking my mom understood that, those results. That if you're here, the end result is going to be that. Or if you're here, the end result is going to be that. That saying made me rethink this being a slave thing. Maybe it's a good thing after all. Maybe when I look at that being a slave as versus eternal doom versus eternal life, maybe it's a good thing. Paul goes on in verse 23 and he sums it up again, the result of our choices. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word wage up there was a military term that Paul used in talking to this group of believers. And that term wage meant it was something that was given to the soldiers daily that they earned, that they deserved. It was their daily pay. But when we give ourselves as slaves to God, we get more than what we deserve. We get something we don't deserve. We get that gift of grace and eternal life. To be a slave of God means that you can't be controlling. Means that I have to relinquish control. Wait a minute. At the very beginning, we talked about how we like control. This isn't easy. This isn't a great marketing thing either. Because to relinquish control is not what we want to do. To be a slave to God and out of control also means that you become very vulnerable to the one over you and vulnerable to the people around you. But we have this thing about us. We put up walls around ourselves so that we think that we are staying in control. We also have all the reasons why we should stay in control. From childhood and upwards, good and bad influences contend for control of us. God, sin. And here's the thing. You cannot help but yield yourself to one or the other. So when the walls come up and you think that you want to remain in control, you're now over here. You're not over there. Since we cannot help but yield control, that means that even if we choose and deliberately choose to let sin be in control, or if we unconsciously choose to let sin be in control, two things happen. If we choose sin, we are, by our own choice, setting our seal on death. Or if we choose God, we thereby rise to the newness of life. But in either case, I think this is what I don't like so much. But in either case, it's my choice that determines the course of my life. We like to blame other people for stuff. Can't. Not on this. It's my choice. And my choice determines the consequences. In the clip we saw at the beginning, the actor that portrayed God said, "You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me, and you have totally bought into the lie. You think you are junk," which is why we put up the walls. He then asked the question, "How can I show you that my love for you has no end?" And I went, "Wait, you did. You sent your son to us. Why? To show us that that love will never be gone, that for us to choose this is always going to be for our best interest, always. Even when we think it's not, it always is. So what would Christmas look like this year if we tore down the walls that we have built around ourselves, and because of our love for Jesus, we relinquished control and offered ourselves as his slave? What would it look like? I am one of those people that you saw up there. And I bet you are too. This Christmas, you are invited to approach and adore the Christ child with no walls, being completely vulnerable, surrendering total control of everything to God because you want to, because of his magnificent love for you, you want to be his slave. What does it look like? What does it look like to live as a slave of God. One, I think that it means that we give thanks for the discipline that God does on us and wants to do, no matter how painful it is. Two, I think it means that we trust God that He has and will always have my best interest at His heart, even when it looks like life is falling apart. This Christmas, I think it means that I will forgive those who don't ask me and who don't deserve it. This Christmas, I think it means that I will be alerted when I don't get my way to respond differently. This Christmas, I think it means that I will not be centered on my will or my desires, because I will want to please my master in my relationships, in my schedule, in my time, in my emotions, in my money. This Christmas, I think it means that I will pay attention to those around me versus me being self-centered. I will notice and respond to those who are hurting and are far from God. I think this Christmas it means that I will choose to give my will, my desires, and my plans to God, and I will follow His. And let me tell you, it is not going to be easy. But you have the power to choose.
Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more, visit us at olathewesleyan.org or visit us on a Sunday morning. We have Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and would love to have you with us.